Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. This segment of the show brought to you by the United Labor Agency. They connect people with employment, 216-666-2185. You can find them online at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Always enjoy talking to this guy. He's always full of energy, great ideas, working with politicians on the right, on the left, and making things happening in Central Ohio. Mr. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstruction.org. And here's their Twitter handle. It's Build Central OH. O-H-I-O.
Happy afternoon, and we're looking forward to the Super Bowl weekend. How are you, Flash?
I'm doing good. What do you think? You think the Eagles can pull it off?
No way.
No Patriots. Way.
Yeah, no way. No way. The Patriots go, and they do it. Yeah. Belichick, Brady, the defense. I mean,
I know.
You can't. It's the Jaguar game. The Jaguars were up 10 points. And
I know.
You don't go to the jugular if you take your foot off their throat for 1 second. I don't know.
They find a way. It's just amazing. But I don't know if the Eagles can pull off what they did against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they look like a Super Bowl team in that game. But to do that again with a backup quarterback, I don't know.
Be very tough. Nick Foles had a great game. Their offense was in rhythm the whole 60 minutes. They played well. They moved the ball. They pretty much did what they do. And another thing that people forget about, you give Belichick 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
2 weeks to prepare. And it's, a quick story real quick. There was a show on the NFL Network a couple years ago, and it talked about the last season in Cleveland and the staff that Belichick put together. And, you know, he had Nick Saban on his staff. He had Kirk Ferentz from Iowa on his staff. He had Scott Pioli, uh-huh, was like a film guy, and that guy ended up being a general manager. Well, he had another guy that was like just a peon on his staff. And I can't remember who it was, but he was kind of like an intern. And he went to Bill Belichick and he said, I want to get into coaching. Bill said, the first thing you got to do is you got to learn how to break down film. He's like, okay. He's like, I'm going to give you this game film. And he goes, I just want you to break down half the film. He goes, I don't even want you to do the offensive snaps. Mm-hmm. He goes, I just want you to do the defensive snaps. He goes, and write a report for me. So the guy went through and, spent like 8 hours breaking down the film. So he gives Bill his report and he's like, I'm going to teach you how to do this. He goes, this is no good. And he takes him in the film room. And on this game film of defensive snaps, I think the guy said there were 60 plays. The first play, they spent 45 minutes breaking down one play. And this guy was like, geez, I don't know if I want to go into coaching. I'll never see daylight again. This is incredible. But that's how meticulous he is.
Yeah.
So you give him 2 weeks, and it's tough. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. So I know you're looking forward to it, too.
Oh, yeah. So. Always looking forward to the Super Bowl. Well, one of these days, maybe we'll see the Browns in it. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know in my lifetime, though.
I don't know either. So.
At least I can remember 1964. It wasn't a Super Bowl back then. I was only 11 years old when that one happened. But, boy, those were the glory days of the Cleveland Browns, no question.
NFL championship. That's right.
No doubt. All right. We got lots to get into here. Let's start off with this Janus versus AFSCME, and we're ramping it up here because this is a huge case. Originally, they were going to argue it in January, and now it's going to be on February 26th. And why don't you just refresh our listeners? And we have to point out that labor's getting ready for this because there's a Working People's Day of Action on the Saturday before they argue it. That's February 24th. Talk to me about what's going on here, Dorsey.
So you're right. Labor's getting ready for this, and I tell you, this is a couple years in the making. Of course, with Antonin Scalia, the Supreme Court was 4-4, so national right to work was kind of staved off for a little while. Then when we went out and we talked to our members during the election, we talked to them about the importance of electing Hillary Clinton because she was going to appoint the next Supreme Court justice, and obviously one of the very few first things that the new Supreme Court would rule on would be national right to work. So, of course, that election didn't go the way we wanted to, and, President Trump is nominated to the Supreme Court who he's nominated, and now we're in the situation we're in, and like we talk about, elections have consequences, and this may be one of the first dire consequences that we face, but for the last year and a half, we've been gearing up for this, knowing that some form of national right to work was going to come in front of the Supreme Court, and this is the case. It's Janice versus AFSCME. I think it's based out of Illinois. That was heard by an appeal court in Illinois that was overturned, so it staved off right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And now this Janice has taken this to the Supreme Court, and the conservatives overrule the court 5-4. They lead 5-4. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But oral arguments start on Monday the 26th. It's going to be interesting to see how everybody airs on this and what happens. I don't know if a verdict or an opinion will come out right away. I don't think so. I think it's going to be more like June of this year before they go back, write everything out, study it up, and we'll see. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. So to get ready for it, like you said, we're going to have a day of action on that Saturday before the 24th, and it's going to be we're going to see what happens. It's going to be interesting to see how many people we get out, what kind of show of support there is. And, we've been educating our members about Right to Work for a long time, and now we're starting to see a lot of studies come out from newly Right to Work states like Indiana, Michigan, the studies aren't good. Wages are going down. People are losing their benefits because some of the first parts of their packages to be cut is their health care, which is not good. So this is something that could have long-term effects on a lot of states. I had this conversation with somebody yesterday that's running for the state house here in Ohio, and they were asking about some of our key issues, and obviously we talked about Right to Work, and I said, this has long-lasting effects. I said, if you look at it like this, let's say Ohio were to go down the path of Indiana and some of these other states and have right to work. Obviously, the impact on wages and benefits would be immediate, but the impact on the state is going to be long-range because you'll have people retiring without any without any good pensions, without health care. And they're going to be a burden on the state and a burden on the taxpayer. And I don't think anybody wants that.
No, not at all. And, job safety, this is very important. Well, it's important to everybody. But in the building trades, you're dealing with dangerous occupations here. And we have seen more accidents happen in states that have gone right to work. And, I mean, that should sound a couple of alarm bells right away, don't you think?
Absolutely, especially in the building trades. I'm glad you brought that up. Our members agree to take a portion of their package every hour and take a portion and put it into a training fund. And it's not just for the apprenticeship programs. It's for the membership as a whole. And it's to constantly keep us updated on safe practices and also efficient practices and changes in the industry. Things change so quickly now with technology and advances and stuff. But it's also to make sure, like you said, everybody works safe. And a lot of those programs that are self-funded by the members, those take a hit too when wages and benefits go down. You got to pay your electric bill, you got to pay your gas bill, you got to pay your mortgage, you got to pay your kids' college tuition, hopefully. But some of those things that take the early cuts are on the benefit side, and that's health and welfare, and that's training funds. So it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, I just want to plug the website here for this Working People's Day of Action while we're still on the subject. It's about freedom.org. We've been hitting it pretty hard here on America's Workforce. I did a big piece on it yesterday. It's about freedom.org. There's going to be rallies all around America. I see the cities they've got posted here, including Columbus, Philadelphia, Memphis, New York, St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit, Miami, Washington, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Again, it's February 24th, where you can join thousands of working people and our allies and stand up for our freedom to come together in strong unions and fight. Fight back the corporate interests here that want to take us down. And that's exactly what it's all about. Lower wages, less safety on the job. It's about freedom.org. All right, speaking of right to work, I was reading a story about the embattled governor in the state of Missouri, and this is a guy that campaigned on right to work. He gets elected. They had a Democrat in office before him, too. So, I mean, they went extreme in the state of Missouri. Labor fought back, and they got, I guess there's a referendum that they're supposed to be on this year's ballot on right to work. Is that right?
Absolutely. And give you a little backstory on this governor of Missouri. A year before he decided to run for governor, he spoke at an international foundation conference in San Diego. For some of your listeners who don't know what that is, the International Foundation gives workshops and updates on different multi-employer pension funds, health and welfare funds, benefit funds, educates the trustees from around the country, both union and management, you know, the contractor side, on how to be good trustees, how to take care of these funds. That way they provide the maximum amount of benefits for their members. And he was one of the guest speakers last year in San Diego at this IBF conference. And he spoke about how the multi-employer funds work, how the building trade unions are great, how they, you know, owners and management and labor work together for the betterment of the industry and the betterment of the worker. And they provide, I mean, he just really hit all the high notes, and people were really impressed. So then he starts running for governor of Missouri, and obviously to separate himself from the pack, you know, he gets involved with the Koch brothers. He takes a little bit of dark money, a little bit of outside interest. There's a huge, huge non-union roofing supplier and contractor in St. Louis, Missouri, and I forget the owner's name, but he's very, very, very prominent in Republican politics, especially in the Midwest, and he helps fund a lot of these right-to-work initiatives and anti-prevailing wage initiatives in a lot of these states, too, and I forget his name. I'll have to look it up and get it to you. But he was behind helping this guy get elected as well. So he got elected, and sure enough, as soon as he got elected, just like Matt Bevin in Kentucky, one of the first things he did was he pushed right-to-work, and he got it passed. Now, they were able to gather over 300,000 signatures to delay the bill for right now, to bring it to a referendum for a vote. So there's two things playing in that. One is the governor there is trying to fight it and trying to, you know, they're waiting on the validation of the signature. So obviously they're hoping that some of the signatures aren't valid, so it's not enough to put it on the ballot and he can go on ahead and institute his right to work. But he also has a backup plan where if the signatures are validated and it does get on the ballot, I guess the timing of when the signatures were turned in to the Secretary of State, I guess the legislature can put it on the ballot in August, which is what this governor wants to do, because he doesn't want it on the ballot in November to drive out working people and Democratic voters to vote on Election Day in November, because obviously there's a huge Senate race in Missouri with Claire McCaskill. So there's a lot of intertwining stories going on here with this.
Yeah. In the meantime, he's got all these scandals going on. He had an extramarital affair, and then when that came out, there's a report that he tried to blackmail the woman to keep her quiet.
Yeah, yeah, and it just keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse, and he's lost a lot of support from his Republican members of the legislature on both sides of the aisle, in the House and in the Senate. And there's even a push to have him removed, and obviously he's entrenched his heels. He's dug in, and he wants to be there, and he wants to stay, and he's doing everything they can to not let him remove them. But I know that, you know, we talked about Janus versus Aspie, and that's hugely important, but we're also focusing on this Missouri, and I know we've had people from Ohio going down and working, helping to gather signatures and working with people to educate them there in Missouri. So it's man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but we'll see how it goes.
It sounds like he's following the Trump model here.
Yeah.
There's a comment I have in one report. David Cook is the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655 in Missouri. And he said, allegations of extortion, blackmail, or threats against women must absolutely be treated seriously. And we're going to make sure that happens. So the unions are speaking out on this, as they should. And
oh,
my gosh.
That's exactly right.
My gosh, what a story. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get some political updates, what's going on. And I see we have a labor luncheon, the Central Ohio Council labor luncheon. We'll get into that, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll discuss that and kind of give you an update on how that went, but it was a great event. So
all
after
right.
The break.
Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, also Mother Jones Magazine on all the retirements in Congress, especially on the GOP side. Back in a few minutes, you're listening to America's Workforce.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. the Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here. A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs, because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, one of our regular guests, monthly guests here on the show. So you had this, what is it, a labor council luncheon, Central Labor?
Yeah. So Walt Workman's the executive director of the Central Ohio Labor Council. And every two or three months, the Columbus Building Trades has been sponsoring labor luncheons where we'll bring in a friend of labor, Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter, friend of labor, have them talk a little bit about what they're working on, some of their issues. We also give our members a chance to kind of have rapport with them as well and talk about some of the issues that we're having, not only in our individual unions, but also on the labor front, you know, nationally here or locally. So Walt Workman in December had planned a labor luncheon for some friends of ours that are huge pro-labor Republicans. Representative Jimmy Hughes was one of the guest speakers. Former Speaker of the House and current legislator Larry Householder, Judge Dan Hawkins, who's a big supporter of labor, Judge Jody Thomas, here at Franklin County Municipal Court judge, who just won re-election, Prosecutor Ron O'Brien, and then some other friends were there as well, judicial candidate who's on the ballot this year, Bill Creedon, and also the current Franklin County Auditor, Clarence Mingo. So Walt was able to put this together. We had about, I'd say, 18 local unions represented. There was probably 65 members there from the labor community. I mean, AFSCME, UFCW, SEIU, Teamsters, iron workers, insulators, plumbers and pipe fitters, sheet metal workers, just a huge, huge showing of support. And got to hear from Jimmy Hughes not only about his run for judge this year and the judicial route that he's changing, where I think he'll be incredibly successful and he'll do a heck of a job, but also some of the fights that he's having with Becker and this anti-union legislation down at the State House and his ideas for the future, and then Larry Householder's ideas for the future, how we can recruit more moderate Republicans to the State House and some of these gerrymandered districts and let them know that, you know, we need to get back to the key fundamentals that made this state great. That's health care, that's education, and that's jobs and the economy.
Yeah. Do you sense
a lot of working people in this state care about?
Exactly. Do you sense some, like, a moderate point of view here? Because you mentioned this guy Becker, and this is a staunch, sounds like a Tea Party guy that just wants to put the screw to unions and be done with it. Get him out of the state of Ohio. That's where he's going. But there's not too many like him, I take it, and there's some voices of reason down there. Am I sensing that in your conversation?
Yeah, I'm starting to see that. And, you know, when Matt Fox hired as executive director of ACT Ohio, that's one of the great things that he did. He instilled in a lot of building trades reps and a lot of local union reps and managers and agents that, you know, we need to get out, we need to do our due diligence, and we need to educate not only Republican members in the legislature, but also Democratic members in the legislature, to let them know that worker issues are key and upfront and how important they are to our members, but also to the citizens of the state of Ohio. So that's what we're doing. We're going out, we're talking to these members, and I think that we're educating them, and they're seeing that where this isn't a Republican issue or a Democratic issue, this is a working class issue, and a lot of them are being educated and ending up being on the right side of this issue and on the right side of labor, which is great. And I gotta give a big shout out to Larry Householder too, and also Jimmy Hughes. You know, we've been working with them to identify candidates in these House districts that are running, and I've gotten out and I've gotten to them before their campaigns have even got up and running, and I've been able to talk to them, but also give them literature on right to work, project labor agreements, prevailing wage, fair contracting standards, and all those things that are important to all of us. And it's been really good. It's been really good. It's been a good thing to do, and I hope it pays dividends at the State House. And I hope it helps a lot of people make the right decisions going forward, so that way the state can keep growing and prospering.
Well, you mentioned project labor agreements. In big companies, Walmart for one, I mean, this is an anti-union company. But when it comes to building a new store at various locations around the country, it doesn't matter where, it could be in a rural area, they almost all the time go for project labor agreements because they know they're going to get it done on time and on budget. I mean, doesn't that speak volumes?
That's right, and done safely. Just like here, you know, we've talked in the past about the work that we do at AEP and also the work that we do at Honda of America. You know, Honda of America is getting ready to expand their transmission plant over by Indian Lake, and they want to look at – or not they want to look at. They are going to use a project labor agreement with the Dayton Building Trades because they want local manpower, they want skilled. They want productivity, but also they want the job done safely, on time, and under budget. And that's the key to a project labor agreement. You set those rules and conditions from day one, and then everybody has a goal to shoot for.
Well, that's interesting, especially Honda. They've fought the UAW as far as, you know, workers on the assembly line. But when it comes to building the plants, then they go union. It's kind of
absolutely, absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah. It's something. So what's your sense here? I mean, it's only February. We got the elections in November. I get the distinct impression here that everybody is kind of licking their chops, getting ready for a big fight coming up.
I think so. I mean, we got a couple of benchmarks. We got the February 7th filing deadline. We'll see who's gonna file and who's gonna run where. And then we've got the May 8th primary. So after that May 8th primary, I'll look at all the races. I'll send out our letters. We'll screen our judicial and county candidates on May 23rd, and then we'll screen our state senate and our state house candidates on May 30th. And our committee will give our recommendations to our body. Body will vote on that in early June, and we'll get our recommendations out. So there's a lot of people that are Marilyn Brown is one that's Franklin County Commissioner that's 100% always on the right side of labor, and she'll definitely get our support, and we'll continue to work with her to help her achieve all her goals and all our goals as well. But then there's some other people that here lately have not been very good labor people that were supposed to be friends of labor, and I'm sure that a pound of flesh will be extracted there, too. So
good.
We'll see how it all goes going forward.
Well, let me extend this offer to you. You and I have talked in the past about getting some of these pro-worker representatives on the show. Let's get them on. Let's chat with them.
Absolutely. I think that'd be a great idea, Flash, to get some of our local legislators here and local elected officials on the county and state level, you know, Republicans or Democrats that are working alongside labor and working people here locally. I think it'd be great to get them on your show to talk about some of the things that we're working on together collectively.
There you go. Okay, Dorsey, I'm going to let you go. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, and we'll talk to you in a month, okay, my friend?
And you know what? I just realized this, Flash.
What's that?
We are 12 days pitchers and catchers report. So next month we'll be talking about spring training. I can't believe it. As I'm looking at my thermometer right now, and it's a balmy 10 degrees in Central Ohio, in a month we'll be talking about baseball and spring training. I cannot wait.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because on the front page of the Plain Dealer today, the Indians' trucks left Progressive Field yesterday at noon for Arizona. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. That's great. It feels good already.
Exactly. Just thinking about it warms me up a little bit. You know?
I love it. Okay, my friend, you take care. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you in a month.
You too, Flash. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
All right. That's it for this segment. Quick break when we come back. Tim Murphy of Mother Jones Magazine is going to talk about all those retirements in Congress. You are listening to America's Workforce.